can't be a fake smile. It's got to be a real smile. It's got to come from within. And so as you and I walk with Jesus, and we're happy inside, there's a joy and a peace. Come what may, we're in his hands. And we need to share that with other people. Amen. I tell you, I read this letter from Jerry Daniels, and it just stirs your heart for the souls of men, doesn't it? The numbers are just incredible. Turn, if you're in your Bibles tonight, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'll look at just a little few verses here as our text this evening. In Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read 34 to 36. The Bible says, well, let's start at 32 for some background. And when they were come in into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, this is Jesus just walked on the water. The wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You are God. And when they were going over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many touched were made perfectly whole. How many were made whole? As many as touched him. You see? As many that will come to Christ will be saved. Okay? He turns no one away. And so, you know, we got that guarantee. So, I mean, you can't listen to these statistics and not feel some conviction. Amen? In this little portion of Scripture lies a great message, both of personal and corporate evangelism. We're called to evangelize. That's what Jerry Daniels is doing. That's what he's been doing all this time. Matthew here tells us of a people with a great need, the person with the great cure, and the men that were moved to unite the two. And by the way, that's you and me. People with great need. The greatest need known to man, and they don't even know they have it. They need for their sins to be forgiven. We know who the source of the cure is. It's none other than Jesus. And your job and mine, connect the two. Get them together. And that's what these guys were doing. These men of that place. And that's what they're referred to. They were not great men. They were not men of great means, of great fame. Their names weren't even mentioned here in this scripture. They were, however, men of great faith because they believed and were convinced enough to have action. They were men of great compassion. They cared. It wasn't just about them seeing Jesus as he came off the ship. Unwittingly, they were carrying out the Great Commission, which had yet to be given. These men of that place sought no personal gain, but rather they no doubt sacrificed time and effort and quite likely personal expense just to get people to Jesus. Read the scriptures again. Three verses. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him. We know that it's Jesus. Here he is. Okay? What are we going to do about it? They sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. They got with it. Now, it's not like they had nothing else to do. It's not these men were bored and had no lives. You wouldn't have observed one of them and felt tempted to walk up to him and say to him snidely, get a life. No. These were real men, real people that had lives like you and I. Families, responsibilities like you and I. But yet they were focused up with Jesus there, having conviction and confidence that he was the answer to all the diseased people in their country roundabout. Let's get him to Jesus. Dr. James Kennedy said, one of the saddest statistics of our day is that 95% of all church members have never led anyone to Christ. I don't know the accuracy of that percentage. and I certainly don't know the percentage of our church. But it's quite compelling, isn't it? I consider my own life and how many people I have led to the Lord, given 2022. Thankful for the prospects of 2023. Are we like the men of that place? It's not that we're trying to make a name, but are we leading? Are we witnessing for Jesus? Jerry Daniels is. And he's made disciples that are doing the same. And there's 180 churches in that country that are doing the same thing. May we be encouraged tonight at the prospects, the opportunities we have to share Jesus with somebody else and not be so distracted with everything else in our lives, our agendas. Paul Harvey. I always liked Paul Harvey. I remember as a kid growing up, my father came home at noontime from one job, go to another. And he would eat, and he had Paul Harvey on. Stand by for news. You remember that? You kids have no idea what we're talking about. He was a conservative. He said this, too many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. Soul winning is a necessary part and responsibility of a Christian's life. I'll read it again. Soul winning, that means talking to people about Jesus, getting them saved, bringing them to Christ, is a necessary part and responsibility of a Christian's life. I'm a Christian. Are you? You saved, born again? You got saved because somebody introduced you to Jesus. Or perhaps it was a more of a direct thing. You came across a track. Somebody gave you a track. You found the track. I heard this morning a great, wonderful testimony. Ted Hamilton was here this morning. Remember how last Sunday he had his mother, his sister, and her daughter, his niece, and the mother was 100 years old? Do you know the niece? She has had some struggles in her life, and she was out on the West Coast. Drugs were part of it. Rough, hard time. She found an old Bible on the ground and picked it up and began to read it, and that was the Bible she had here last Sunday. God's working. Let's get on in on it, you know? I want to be part of that. God has divine appointments for you and me. If we're sensitive, if we're looking for it, not too busy. We're always too busy. How many's not too busy here? Aren't we all busy? Even the retired are busy. Most retirees, when you talk with them, they say, well, you know, I'm looking forward to rest and all these things about, you know, retirement. They find themselves busier than they were before that they're retired. That's the way I want to be. I don't want to sit and grow old. The growing old is non-negotiable. But the sitting, that's choice. 5 quick points here. Just a reminder tonight about your responsibility and mine to always have a smile on your face while you witness about Jesus. Hey, listen, don't frown when you witness. Don't be so glum. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I can't wait to hear. Number one, notice the timing. Verse 35. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him. That's when they got going, isn't it? When they had knowledge of him. The men of that place began seeking out those in need when they had knowledge of him, of Jesus. You know, the sister portion of this story here is found in Mark chapter 6. Verse 54 tells us that they knew as soon as they knew him, as soon as he stepped out of the ship, straightway they knew him. And they got busy. See? They ran. In fact, verse 55 of Mark 6 says that they ran towards him. In fact, let's go there and take a look at that. Mark chapter 6, the last 4 verses, we have the same account by Mark. And verse 53 says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, Jesus and the others, straightway they knew him. And what did they do? They ran through the whole region round about. When did they start doing this? Well, it's when he got out of the boat. When is a Christian supposed to begin witnessing, evangelizing, telling others about Jesus? Is it after some certain time period or some sort of probationary period? Some special course they've taken? No! You're supposed to be talking about Jesus soon after you get saved, man. Start telling people what he did for you, how he changed your life, how you know you're going to heaven. Soul winning begins the moment you get saved, sharing with others what Christ has done for you and continues all through your life. There was a young man who had heard the gospel and accepted Christ. A little while after this, a Christian teacher asked him, what have you done for Christ since you believed? He replied, oh, I'm a learner. It's good. Well, said the questioner, when you light a candle, do you light it to make the candle more comfortable, or do you light it to give light? He replied, well, to give light. Well, tell me this. Do you expect it to give light after it is half burned down, the candle, or when you first light it? He replied, well, as soon as I light it. Very well, was the reply. Go and do thou likewise. Begin at once. When are you supposed to start shining your light? So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're supposed to do this as soon as you get saved. We flip the switch and the lights come on. We expect them to come on. We don't wait for them to come on. And that's the point. If you're saved, you're supposed to talk about Jesus right away. You have a lot to talk about. It's heaven or hell. Over 5,000 people are going to heaven as a result of 2022 because Jerry Daniels and his ministry over 50 years. That's amazing. That is amazing. Missionary Susie Hobart believes that one of her main responsibilities as a mother is to instill in her children a burden for their lost friends. And she's done a good job. 10-year-old Ryan was driving imaginary race cars with his friends. Several minutes later, he came bounding into the house and yelled, Mom, you've got to come quick. Isabel wants to get saved, take and get Jesus in her heart. Skeptical of the child's sudden interest in spiritual things, Susie asked Ryan, I thought you were playing race cars. Well, we were, Mom, but our car is wrecked. It was a bad wreck. The accident was very bad. And I asked Isabel if she would go to heaven if she died. She said, I don't know. I told her how she could know. And she wants to ask Jesus in her heart. I'm not encouraging our kids to, you know, have this massive accident and put them, bring them to the point. The point there is there was a concern, a mindful concern. Heaven and hell, the souls of men and finding Jesus, the Savior. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee or aided thee, helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When are we supposed to start? Now. I mean, if the time of salvation is now, then the time to tell people about others and to witness to them is now. D.L. Moody, by his own admission, had made a great mistake on October 8th of 1871. His mistake, he determined never to repeat. He had been preaching in the city of Chicago, and that particular night drew his largest audience yet. His message was, what will you do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? By the end of the service, he was tired. He concluded his message with a presentation of the gospel and a concluding statement. Now I give you a week, 1 week, to think that over. And when we come together again, you will have opportunity to respond. The soloist began to sing. But before the final note, the music was drowned out by the clanging bells and wailing sirens that were screaming through the streets. The great Chicago fire was blazing. In the ash and aftermath, hundreds were dead and over 100,000 were homeless. Without a doubt, some who had heard Moody's message had died in the fire. He reflected remorsefully that he would have given his right arm before he would ever give an audience another week to think over the message of the gospel. When is the time? Now. Now's the time. What's the territory? Notice again in verse 35. It says, "And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about." Notice that there were no geographic exclusions to their efforts. They sent out into all that country round about. In Mark 6, the sister verses, it says the whole region's round about. They didn't go up to such and such a point. We tend to put borders and limitations if we're not careful on our territory of evangelism. There are some places we either feel we're too good for or just not comfortable going or not talking to somebody, be it at the gas pump or whatever. The opportunity is here and you know it. The Spirit of God tells you to talk to the guy. Well, he doesn't look like he'd be interested. We come up with all this rationalization. Oh, he's outside of my evangelistic borders. He's on the other side of the pump. We come up with, I suppose to God, it seems very silly reasons. The sad truth is, for most Christians, their territory of Christian witness and demonstration is limited to the church property, which is their comfort zone. There's no risk there. Somebody comes in, don't know if they're saved, no problem. Begin to talk about Jesus. God has already determined the borders for yours and my evangelism. There aren't any. Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world." Many a church has a sign as you're exiting the building that you look up and see that says this: "You are now entering the mission field." That's awesome. I like that. The timing? Now. The territory? Everywhere. The target? The target. Again, this is in verse 35. It says, "And when the men of that place acknowledged him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased." You know, in the Bible, the word disease has reference, a connection with sin. How many need to be saved? How many are sinners? All are sinners. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned." 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:12, "They are all gone out of the way." Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way." I mean, verse after verse in the Bible makes clear that everybody is in need of the Savior. We're all sinners. These men of that place sought out all that were diseased. So who's to be our target? All. Everywhere. All people there. Is it to be only those who we are comfortable with? Or should our hearts yearn for the souls of all men, like the Lord's is? 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's the target. Our target is to include all men, viewing them as all being diseased with sin, in need of healing, in need of Jesus. Oh, that we would have the same compassion for the lost as these men had for those that were diseased. The timing, the territory, the target. The task. That's in 35 and 36. What's the task? It's the work. It's the action. Notice, let's read 35 and 36. "And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. These men worked. They labored. Many of these people, they were diseased and had to be carried. They were more than just inconvenience. They sacrificed time and effort. Some of them probably shelled out some of their own money, rent a donkey or something to carry them in. But they brought them in. They carried them in. They sensed that they felt like they just had to get them to Jesus. This poor wretch, he can't get there on his own. I got to get him to Jesus. And if we see men knowing their souls as God sees them and his heart's desire, we're the men of that place to connect the two. But it's work. It says they sent. That's missions, I believe. You give the faith promise, I trust, and you bathe it in prayer for our missionaries. It says they brought. That's personal evangelism. They besought. That's prayer. Our task is to accomplish all three of those things. We should be involved in it. It's not limited to the delight of our congregating and singing and praising God and enjoying life, walking with God. The fact is, there's a missing component there if we're not sharing Jesus with somebody else. Not looking for the opportunity. Somebody cared for my soul. And I trusted Christ as Savior. And we're to be those somebodies. We're to be the men of that place, the women of that place. They weren't lazy. And I trust that we aren't either. Which brings me to the last point. We talked about the timing, the territory, the target, and the task. Lastly, the touch. In verse 36, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You know, it reminds me of the woman in Matthew chapter 9. Let me read you verse 20 and 21. It says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. There was a confidence that she had. And the men of that place had the same confidence. They were convinced that they could just get these people close enough to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that they would be healed. That confidence is something that we need to have too. I believe we have that. Who here doubts that if we get somebody to Jesus, to share with them Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes it from there, that they could get saved? Any and all. Jesus can save any and everybody who will come to him. Two points to consider. Their work was only to get the diseased within reach of Jesus. That Jesus would do the rest. Jesus could and he would. He would heal them. You and I can't save anybody. But like the men of that place, we can get them to Jesus. Bring Jesus to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And we understand that. We don't save anybody. But it's not our job to save people. You take them to Jesus. You bring Jesus to them. And as the Holy Spirit takes over in their lives. That and the free will of man is in play. Their work was only to get the diseased within reach of Jesus. And they brought the diseased to Jesus, not to the scribes or the Pharisees or to anyone else. It's Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4, 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. And the devil's flooded the world with all kinds of other names. Muhammad, Joe Smith, Charles Russell, Rutherford, Mary Baker Eddy, Confucius, name after name after name, religious leaders to distract people who have need and see a need and are looking for something. You give them what they want. We need to give them Jesus. They need to touch the hem of his garment. Remember that song? It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. What a wonderful song that is. The difference. Same old violin, but trying to sell it. Very little bids. But all of a sudden, the guy comes in. The master plays this old violin, and the sound just filled the room. And as the story goes, the song goes, the bids just started with crazy numbers. What made the difference? The end of the song. What made the difference? It was the touch of the master's hand. You and I know that master. We serve him. They don't. He changes everything. Did he change your life? He changed mine. Oh, the power of God upon the soul of a man. The men of that place were convinced that now was the time. The men of that place set no boundaries of territory. The men of that place excluded no one. The men of that place were willing to work. And the men of that place were convinced in the power of the touch. Are we? That's the jolt tonight that I need. I trust you need it too. This week that we're facing, my goodness, set a goal. Talk to three people, at least three people. Tell them about Jesus, give them a track. Do something. Be one of the men of that place. Not for notoriety, but getting somebody to Jesus. Because we're convinced he does save and still saves. The connection needs to be made, and you and I are the gap fillers. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We come again to time.